Good morning. I too say happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, mother of her children. Happy Mother's Day to my mother. She's not here, but sometimes she listens to my sermons online. So, Mom, if you're listening, happy Mother's Day. She listens to my sermons and she sends me ideas how they could be better. Mothers are always looking out for us, aren't they? One of the most beloved verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28. You've probably heard it many, many times, maybe hundreds of times, because it is one of the greatest promises of the Bible. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. And typically, we stop right there. We leave off the second half of the verse and we say, what an amazing promise. What a great promise. We know that God causes everything. So that's not just the good things. That includes even the bad things. Even the ugly things. Even the terrible things. Even the tragic things in our life. To work together for the good of those who love God. The verse is not at all saying those things are good. Because there's a lot of bad in life. There are a lot of bad things happening in this world. And not all the things that happen to you are good. But God says he can cause all of those things to work together for good. He can bring good out of even bad for those who love God. And usually we saw the verse right there. But the rest of the verse says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. And are called according to his purpose for them. Notice the words called and purpose. This verse is saying that calling and purpose go together. So that's what we're going to look at for the next 4 weeks. We're going to look at we're going to be in a series called Living a Better Life. So I'm going to talk about how to move from a good life to a better life. And the key is to know your calling. I mean, if I were to say to you, what do you think of first when I say the word call, make a call, get a call, be called? You probably think of the telephone. Right now, you might be thinking of calling out for pizza or something like that. But I have to be honest with you, as a little confession to you as your pastor, I don't like telephones. I never have. Telephones represent two things to me. Number one, they represent an interruption. Now, maybe they don't seem like an interruption to you, but if you're a pastor, you're on call 24 hours a day, sort of like doctors are. So when the phone rings, you know, usually I'm busy, or I'm relaxing, or I'm studying, or I'm sleeping, or I'm talking with somebody else, or whatever. So it represents an interruption. And the second reason I don't like telephones is because too often, it means bad news. Something has happened to someone. As a pastor, of course, I deal with people who are in pain literally every day of my life. So when the phone rings, I'm not thinking, I wonder if I just won the lottery. In the first place, I don't buy the lottery, and you shouldn't buy the lottery either. I mean, you're not going to get anything from it. If you buy the lottery, I'll tell you what, meet me in the foyer after church and just give me the money. And I'll put it to work for the church. Just don't waste it on the lottery. But let's just say the phone rings one day and you think it's an interruption or you think it's going to be bad news, but somebody was calling to tell you, you just inherited $50 million. You would not want to miss that call. So my question to you this morning is, what if God called? Let me give you a tip. If God calls, don't use call waiting. If God calls, don't let it go through the voicemail. When God calls you, don't just let it ring and ring and ring. Pick it up on the first ring when God calls you. What does that mean to say that God calls people? Well, the word in Greek, it's the word kaleo. It's sort of like our word call, kaleo. It means God is calling you. It's used about 100 times in the New Testament. And most of the time, it's talking about your assignment in life. It's talking about your purpose in life. It's talking about God's mission for your life. The reason God created you. So in the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my mission? So the Greek word for calling is kaleo. The Latin word for calling is another word you're probably familiar with. It's like the word vocation. You've heard of that. Vocation comes from the Latin word voca or vocare. So it means to speak. It means to call. We get the word voice from that. We get the word vocal from that. So vocalize comes from the word vocation. It is your calling. So your vocation and your calling are the same thing. But here's the problem, before you make any conclusions. Today, the word vocation, it's been so reduced, it's been so minimized, it's come to mean just your job or your career. But your calling is not your career. Your calling is far more significant, it's far larger, it's far more encompassing than your career. So vocation is misused when you say my vocation is my job. No, you have a job, but your vocation is your calling in life. Your vocation is your calling in life. In fact, the Bible is the story of God calling people. The whole Bible is about that. God calling Noah. God calling Abraham and Abraham responding. God calling Moses and Moses responding. God calling Nehemiah, who was a builder. And God calling David and Solomon. In the New Testament, God calling Peter, Paul, and Mary. If you laughed at that, you're really old. That one went shh. God calling Paul. But here's the thing. God has a calling in every person's life. This is the story of God. It's a better story. It is Him calling people. The Bible is the story of God calling people. So as your pastor, my prayer for you in the next 4 weeks is going to be this verse. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called. His holy people are rich, His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. So when you understand your calling, it says in this verse, it's going to give you incredible hope. It says it gives you a confident hope. And it says in the verse, Paul says, I want you to understand that. It's important you understand that. Because when you understand God's calling in your life, then you understand the glorious inheritance, the greatness of God's power. So the Bible is saying when you know your calling, you discover the incredible blessings that you've been missing out on. I mean, that makes me excited. So in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to take this whole other level where you understand these blessings, the glorious blessings that God wants to do in your life. So what I want to do today is just introduce the subject, and I'm going to give you an overview of the 8 things you need to know. And I'm going to summarize a lot of Bible verses, like 100 Bible verses. I'm going to give you the 8 things you need to know about your calling. So let's look at these 8 things that I need to know about my calling in life. In other words, why did God put me here on earth? What is my mission that God has given to me? Number one, my calling is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. So that just means I didn't earn it. That means I don't deserve it. That means I didn't work for it. I didn't bargain for it. I didn't barter for it. It's just a flat-out gift from God. It's His present to me. It says in Galatians, it says, God called you to Himself through the loving mercy of Christ. It's through the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. It's all because of Jesus. It says in this other passage in Timothy, it says, for God saved us and called us. Notice they go together. God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. So the verse is, again, just saying we didn't deserve it. It's just an act of grace. So grace is undeserved kindness. It's when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. I mean, if we all got what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. So grace is the fact that God knows every dumb mistake you're going to make in your life, and he still chose to create you. He knew all the times you're going to disobey him, and he still chose to call you. That's the grace of God. The fact is, God knows all the things I've done, even when I was thumbing my nose at him, even when I was rejecting him, and God was saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. As we get into this series, it's really important, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, to go back and listen to that sermon. Because the sermon 2 weeks ago really was a preparation for this series. And if you missed it, I encourage you, even if you're here, you can go back and listen to it again. So God gives me a calling in life simply because he wants to give me a calling in life. I don't deserve it. He just gives it to me. Notice in that verse it says God's plan, God's purpose. And that leads us to the second thing we learn. I'm called for God's purpose. Not mine, but God's. I'm not called for my plan in life. I'm called for God's plan. I hope you know by this point that God did not make you for you. Do you think God made you just live a selfish little self-centered life where it's all about me, myself, and I? Are you kidding me? No way. God didn't make you for you. You were made by God, and you were made for God. Until you understand that, your life isn't going to make sense. In fact, your life is going to be boring, and your life is going to be frustrating, and you're going to face all kinds of difficulties if you don't understand you were made for God. I'm called for God's purpose. God's calling also is about his plan for my life, not my plan. It's his dream for my life, not my dream. It's his purpose for my life, not my purpose, not my parents' purpose, not my boyfriend's purpose, not my wife's purpose or my husband's purpose. It's for God's purpose in my life. Interesting example of this is the story of Jacob and Esau in the Bible. They were twins, and there was this guy in the Bible named Abraham. Maybe you've heard of him. And he had a son named Isaac. And Isaac had two sons, and they were twins. They were Jacob and Esau. So in those days, in those cultural times, the firstborn child, particularly the firstborn male, he got all the glory. He got all the love. The firstborn was considered special. In fact, the firstborn son was the one that got the family inheritance. It was like, you're born first, you're special, you're number one. And number two, we're glad you're here too. That was the culture of the time. And God didn't like that. In the case of Esau and Jacob, Esau was the firstborn son. And God said, I have a calling in Esau's life, but I also have a calling for Jacob's life. And because I want to, and just because I want to, we're going to reverse it. And I'm choosing Jacob to get the blessing of the firstborn son, even though he was born second. And he told his mother, Rebecca, about it before she even delivered them. And Paul, actually, he uses it as an illustration in Romans 9. He says, but before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, she, Rebecca, received a message from God. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. So this is exact opposite of culture. This is before the boys had done anything. In other words, they didn't deserve it. They didn't merit it based on anything good or bad. The one was chosen because God had chosen him according to his plan. It was God's purpose. It was God's plan. He was chosen because he's the one God wanted to call, not because of anything he did. I'm fortunate. I learned my call in life at a pretty young age. In fact, I was 11, but I hadn't done anything. I didn't deserve it. I certainly wasn't worthy of it. But when I was 11, God made his call on my life clear. And so one night I got down on my knees and I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do with my life. I said, God, I'm signing my name on the check and I don't even know what the amount is. But I'm signing to you that I'm yours and I'm going to serve you the rest of my life and I'm going to fulfill the calling you have for me. And as soon as I finished that prayer, do you know what happened? Nothing. No angels came and flapped their wings. No blinding light, no thunder, no lightning. My hair didn't turn white like Charlton Heston. Nothing happened. But that was a turning point in my life. When I recognized God's right and his call on my life. And as a result, as I grew, I considered my life bivocational. You know, which means I had a job in which I could put food on the table, in which I could pay the bills, but I also had a calling. So my career and my calling might match sometimes, but they might not match other times. Because my calling was from God, and my career was just how I make a living. A career makes a living, but a calling makes a life. So from that point on, I considered myself bivocational. I did a number of different jobs, even though I had this call in my life. At one point, I was a fruit picker. Then I became the truck driver for the owner of the fruit farm. At one point, I refereed basketball. Then I worked in a parking garage where got cars in and out, things like that. Then for 2 years, I was a taxi driver. Then I became a youth pastor. Then I became an associate pastor. And for the last 20 years, I've been a senior pastor. So my job has changed many, many times. But my calling has never changed, regardless of what my job was. And you have a calling on your life that is unique too. The Bible says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago." So that verse is saying we're made for a purpose, for the good things or the good works. That verse also says some other important truths. You know, it says we're God's masterpiece. The word in the Greek language is actually, it's the word poema. It's where we get the word poem. You're God's poem. You're God's work of art. You are God's workmanship. You are God's masterpiece. Say, I don't think I'm much of a masterpiece. Well, then you don't realize how much value you have to God. You don't realize the value God's put in your life. You say, I'm not a masterpiece. I'm just a beat up piece of junk. You're not junk. God doesn't die for junk. You're a masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. But the verse in the context is saying it shows when you fulfill your calling. So if you try to be what somebody else wants you to be, you're gonna miss it. And your true beauty, your true greatness to God, it won't come out. You're God's masterpiece, creating Christ Jesus to do good works. And those good works are your contribution to the world. You're not put on this planet just to use up air and to take up space and die. You weren't put here simply to be a consumer. You were put here to be a contributor, to make a contribution with your life. And your contribution is your good works. It's your calling. Here's the cool thing. We all have different good works. Your contribution, your good works, they're different from my contribution and my good works. And our contribution is different from the person beside us. And God uses all these different gifts and all these different callings so that everything that he wants done gets done. So you're God's masterpiece, and he planned it long ago. So that means a long time before you thought of it, God had thought of your calling. In fact, here's the third principle. God chose my calling before I was born. Let me show you some verses on this. It says in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, I knew you were born. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Here's another example. It says in Galatians, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. When I was younger and I used to read those verses, I used to think, well, those are verses about those people, about their calling. But I hadn't studied the 100 other verses that talk about God's calling. I think what's true of them is true of you. What God has called you before you're even born. And the Bible says God uniquely shaped you, even while you're in your mother's womb. You are a genetically modified embryo by God. Last year, we heard the speaker while we were on our family vacation. And his name was Nick Vujicic. So here's a picture of Nick. So Nick Vujicic is a guy who has no arms and no legs. And you might think, you might say, well, a guy with no arms and no legs, what good can he do? You know, he's probably made a bigger contribution than any of us because he's changed millions of lives, because he travels around the world sharing the good news of the gospel, testifying how God made his life, shaped his life for his purpose for Nick and his calling for Nick. So don't underestimate what God wants to do in your life. In fact, some of you need to memorize that verse because you'll need that verse when you get discouraged. It will encourage you on the days you feel discouraged. When you feel like your life's an accident, it's not. When you feel like nobody cares, God cares. When you feel like your life doesn't have a purpose, the Bible says God planned your life before you were born. That just means you're never too young to start living out God's calling. There's a fourth thing the Bible teaches about your calling, and this is a big one. It's a really big one. Number four, my sins and mistakes don't change my call. I'm so glad for this one. My sins and my mistakes, it doesn't change God's call on my life. It doesn't matter how messed up your life has been, whether you messed it up or whether somebody else messed it up for you. So no matter how screwy a God, how difficult it became, no matter how many dumb decisions you've made in the past, it hasn't changed God's call in your life at all. The call God gave to you before you were born, the call that God reaffirmed when you were saved, it's a calling that's there forever. It's a permanent calling. Good example of this was Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul was a pretty rude dude in a crude mood before he became an apostle. And God called him to be an apostle. And he says this about his life. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, my disrespect, in my insolence, I've persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. I love that. Paul says, while I lacked faith, I acted in ignorance. And God showed me mercy. That's saying, I did a lot of dumb things growing up. How many of you would admit that? I did a lot of dumb things growing up. I'm not the only one, I'm sure. That's apostles' training. Congratulations. Do you know what Paul's talking about here? Paul was a terrorist before he became an apostle. He was a religious terrorist. He was going to people's homes and he was pulling them out into the streets and throwing them into jail and killing people. He was a murderer. And God said, Paul, that doesn't change the plan I had for you. Even before you were born, I had a plan for you. And even the bad stuff fits into the plan. Fact is, the thing I love about God the most is he never wastes anything. He fits it all into his plan. Even my sin, even the stupid decisions I made, even those stupid things I did that I regret the rest of my life, God says, I'm gonna get them into the plan. We'll make it work. I'll bring all those things together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. I can fit that in there too. Not only can God say your sins and your mistakes don't change your calling, but the sins of other people against you, that doesn't change your calling either. Some of you may feel a little bruised, a little battered, a little beaten up by life. Maybe you had somebody who was unfaithful to you. Maybe you had somebody walk out on your life. You had somebody betray you, reject you. Some of you, you've been molested. Some of you have been raped. And I'm sorry, I'm very sorry. But you know what? That did not change one bit the value that you have to God. And that did not change one bit God's call on your life. It has not changed. You are still God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God says, I can even take the ugly stuff, take the stinger out of it. I'll even bring good out of it in your life if you'll let me. The Bible says my sins and my mistakes don't change God's call. So I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down or put it in the Sermon Notes app. God has no plan B for me. God has no plan B for me. Because a lot of people think, I've really screwed up on that one, therefore I've got to live with plan B the rest of my life. No, you don't. It's all part of plan A. That's what Romans 8:28 means. God has no plan B for me. The great illustration of this is the late Chuck Colson. I don't know if you read his story. He had a bestseller in the 70s, and he called Born Again. And Chuck Colson was one of the most powerful men in the world in his day, because he was assistant to the president of the United States of America. Then he got involved in a famous scandal, the Watergate scandal, and he went to prison. And in prison, he found Christ. He became a believer. And while he was in prison, he saw the need for people in prisons to hear the gospel so they could know the Lord. So he started Prison Fellowship, which is in now like 150 countries. And it's blessed millions of people. But when God created Chuck Colson, he knew he would go from the presidency to prison and back out all in one lifetime. And he said, I'm going to fit it all into the plan. Number five, God's calling is permanent. What I mean by that is nobody can take it from you. You know, when you're growing up, your parents probably tried to make you into something you didn't really want to be. Or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, they tried to make you into something you didn't want to be. Or your boss or somebody in your life is always trying to pressure you to conform. And they're trying to take you away from your true calling. And your calling, it cannot be taken away from you. Satan can't take it away from you. You can't take it away from you. And other people can't take your calling away from you. It says in Romans, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. They can't be taken away. They're permanent. The calling in your life, it's never going to change, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've messed up. Now, the expression may change, the timing, the when, the where, the how, but the calling will not change. You still have the same gifts that God gave you from the beginning of time. So if my calling is permanent, it means this. My job is not my calling. Because your job can change. How many of you have ever changed jobs? How many of you ever lost a job? How many of you have found yourself unemployed? You go through many, many jobs in your life. Your job is not your calling. Jobs change all the time. But the calling, it never changes. This is an eye-opener for some of you. The Bible says, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. The NIV says they are irrevocable. They're permanent in your life. So that means you're never too old to be living out God's calling. They're always there. They're always present. It's permanent. Number six, my calling is connected to others. My calling, my assignment from God in life, my purpose, my vision, the dream that God has for my life, it's connected to other people. What do I mean by that? You cannot fulfill your purpose in life by yourself. It's impossible. You can only do it if you're connected to other people. Calling and community go together. You cannot be what God wants you to be. You cannot fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. You cannot enjoy your destiny on your own. You have to be connected to other people. It's just like the parts of your body. They're worthless unless they're connected. You have an eyeball, which is extremely sophisticated. Has the ability to take in light and to translate that to your brain so that you can see things. But if you were to remove the eyeball, you take the eyeball away from the body, it's worthless. It can't see anything because it's not connected. You have an ear, which is an amazing gift of God. Your ear, it can take waves, can turn them into impulses to your brain, and your brain hears sounds. But if your ear is disconnected from your body, it's worthless. The ear can't hear anything unless it's connected. You have a hand. Your hand is an amazing thing. It can repair things. It can grasp things. It can write things. But that hand, if it were cut off, it's of no use. A hand has no power, no talent, no ability without being connected to the body. So you have to be connected to the body to fulfill your calling. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ, the family of God, but it calls it the body. And we're all members. We're all like a hand or an eye or an ear or a nose. Everything is connected to the body. It says in Ephesians, "For there's one body and one spirit, just as we have been called to one glorious hope for the future." Again, saying there, it's in connection, it's in community. I experience my calling. It says in Hebrews, "And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and who are partners with those who are called to heaven." It says you're connected as partners. How do you get connected? Well, that's why God made the church. It's the family where you're connected. That's why we talk about house church all the time, because it's there in house church that you can learn from other people. They help you in your weaknesses. You help them in their weaknesses. But those people at church, those people in your house church, they're partners who are called heavenward. In other words, we're better together. We're better as a team. So that's why at church you have to be connected. Number 7, God empowers what he calls me to do. That's the 7th thing that I need to know about my calling. Whatever God calls me to do, he empowers me to do. So if God gives you an assignment in life, he'll enable you to do it. He'll equip you to do it. He'll empower you to do it. He'll strengthen you to do it. He'll give you the ability to do it. God will never ask you to do anything with your life that he doesn't give you the power to do. Here's how it works. Once I understand my calling, that God has a calling in my life, what I do is I commit myself to him. And when I commit myself to God's calling for my life, I say, God, you know, whatever time I've got left on this earth, whether it be a week or a month or a decade or whatever, I commit to your calling for my life. Then God commits the resources to help you with that calling. You say, I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm going to commit to your calling for my life. And God says, then I'll commit the resources, what you need to get it done. It says in Ephesians, therefore, I as a prisoner for serving the Lord beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Notice the verse says that calling is a lifestyle, and you're to live a life to which God called you. Here's my prayer for you. It says in Thessalonians, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. So notice the promise again. You do the good things that your faith motivates you to do. You do the good works that we were talking about earlier. And God says, I'll give you the power. You can count on God to give you the strength you need. You say, I don't know if I can do it. Well, the key word there is I. You can't do it, but God can do it, and God can give you the power to do it. So if you're making decisions based on your own power, your own strength, you'll make the wrong decisions. It says in 1 Thessalonians, God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Maybe there's a person in your life that you know, and you know that person needs some help, but you're afraid to help. Because you don't know if you have the ability to help them. You don't know if you have the strength to help them. But God will give you the power and the strength and the vitality to help that person. You say, well, I've never helped anybody. Well, the Bible says God will make it happen. He will give you the power. There's one more truth I want to cover as we start this series. Just let me review. My calling is a gift from God. I'm called for God's purpose, not my own. God chose my calling before I was born. My sins and my mistakes don't change my calling. My calling is permanent. Nobody on earth can take it away. It's irrevocable. My calling is connected to others, so I've got to be connected to the body for it to work. God will empower me to do what he calls me to do. And then number 8, there's a prize for living out my calling. So that's why I'm excited about this series, because there's a prize for living out my calling. God has promised a reward for those people who discover and live the calling God made for them here on earth. And that reward's going to last forever. It says in Philippians, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what is the prize? It would take me a month of Sundays to explain all that God wants to do in heaven for you. But let me just say this. The prize is this, that you get to share in everything that God has in heaven. You get to share in his kingdom. You get to share in his glory. You get to share in his power. It all becomes yours. Life here on earth is a test. Why didn't God just create you and take you straight to heaven? I mean, you're going there anyway. Why didn't God just take you there in the first place? Because he put you here on earth to test your faithfulness. And he gave you a few things, and he put them in your care, opportunities and relationships. And he says, let's see what you do with them. And if you're faithful in a little, I'll give you more. You'll give more of my riches, more of my power, and more of my glory. And if you're faithful in little, then you'll be faithful in much. So it's a test. And God's testing you. He's seeing, are you going to fulfill your calling here on earth? And if you do, then he's going to share with you everything that is his. It's an amazing thing to think about. It's stated in 1 Thessalonians. It says, we plead it with you, encourage you, and urge you. Can I do the same? Plead, encourage, urge you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he has called you to share. And what are we going to share? In his kingdom and glory. That's amazing. That for eternity, God will share his kingdom and his glory if I live out my calling. It's hard to explain that. It's hard to even get my head around it. Let me just say it this way. Imagine on Broadway in New York City, a giant marquee lit up with lights. And it says, now starring for eternity, Jesus Christ. Co-starring, and there it has your name. You will share in his kingdom and his glory. I don't want you to get to heaven and God asks, what did you do with your calling? And you go, I didn't even know I had one. You do. And if you fulfill your calling in life and you make the most of what you're given, God says you get to share in my kingdom, in my glory, forever. Are you interested in that? I am. We talked about earlier answering the phone if God called. Fact is, God has already called. He's already called you. The phone has been ringing since the moment you were conceived. The question is, are you going to pick it up? It's been ringing. God's call has been ringing your whole life. And some of you, you've just been ignoring it. But God's saying, I'm not hanging up. Will you pick up the phone today and say, God, I'm going to begin to discover and develop and live the call that you made for me. I will learn what on earth I am here for, and I'll spend the rest of my life learning to do that. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. I'm going to pray a prayer, a blessing, but you have to make the decision. Am I going to answer God's call? Let's pray. As we close, pray this prayer in your heart. Dear God, thank you that you created me, that I'm not an accident. Thank you that I've been in your care even before I was born. Thank you that you not just created me, but you've called me. You have a purpose, an assignment for my life. I'm not here just to waste time. Thank you that you called me for your purpose. I want your plan, not mine. Thank you that the plan began from the moment of my birth, and even though I've made many mistakes and I've sinned a lot and other people have hurt me, it hasn't changed my call one bit. I thank you that my calling is permanent. And I realize today that I cannot fulfill my purpose if I'm disconnected. I need to be connected to others in your body, in your family, who have the same spirit and the same calling. And I thank you, Lord, that you've promised to give me the power to do what you've asked me to do. That you won't ask me to do something that you won't enable me and strengthen me to do. Lord, I want that prize in life. I want to live the rest of my life that I might be able to share in your kingdom and in your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.